Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Coffees and the Christs. Christ, singular. We're glad you tuned in with us again this week. We weren't able to speak last week just because...
It was my fault.
Here it go. I'm just kidding. No, we just had some things going on. And to be honest, for some reason, last week felt like forever ago. I can't remember. I can't even remember. It's been so long. Dylan, don't cry.
I'm sorry.
Don't cry, Dylan.
I'm not trying to cry. They're fake.
It's okay, Dylan. Don't cry.
They're fake.
Dylan's putting in some eye drops. Don't cry.
I'm sorry.
I can't remember, though, why we were gone. But we're back. That's all that matters. And this is the last episode before Christmas. So, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And a happy New Hanukkah. Year, because it's all right there. It all back to back to back. When is Hanukkah?
I don't know. I'm not a Jew. Is that what Jews celebrate? No.
Yeah.
Is it Jewish people?
Yeah, it's the.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I I don't even know how to spell. There it is. So it's this. Oh, it's the evening of December 25th through January 2nd. Cool. Yeah, it's a Jewish holiday.
I'll be celebrating.
No, you will be. So yes, happy Hanukkah if you're a Jew and you're listening. That's great, by the way. Like a different demographic, but you know, we haven't looked up who listens to us in a while.
We haven't.
But anywho, I know it was a while ago, but we just haven't looked at, because we don't worry about the numbers, guys. We don't.
We're not here for the glory.
We're not here. Look at that little word, like a little insightful right there, glory. That's what we're going to talk about today, guys. Dylan was on top of things. He's like queuing us up, like he's guiding the conversation here. but yeah, we're not here for the numbers. We're here for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But yeah, this week has been, I'll go first since Dylan's doing something over there. Well, this week's been great, you know. It's been a little gloomy in Tennessee, though, or at least in this part of Tennessee that we're at. It's rained like all day today, but then every day before that has been what seems like cloudy. What day did it snow? Was that Monday?
Monday.
Monday. Man, that feels like forever away.
No, Tuesday.
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 This week? Last week.
Last week.
Last week, that's right. Yeah, so it snowed. It's rained. If it was really cold today, imagine how much snow we would have got. Because it rained all day.
Oh, I wish it would have.
Like, it rained the entire day. So we definitely had a lot to do. Like, a lot of rain. So it would have been a lot of snow, but it's been good. It's been a good week. And doom and gloom is fine, though. You know, got a big window in the office. So I can just watch the rain. So it's been nice. But Dylan, what about yourself?
It's been a good week. Just been, I don't know. Nothing like crazy's happened. Went and went to the movies last night.
Aw. What'd you watch?
Christmas Vacation.
At the movie theaters?
The Crossville, because they lost their movie theater. Palace Theater, which is like the historic one on downtown.
Yeah.
They play movies like randomly. So last night they were playing Christmas Vacation. And so me and Mom and Dad and Andrea and Mike and Leslie and Bella all went and watched it on the screen. It was fun.
That's cute.
It was fun.
I've always wanted to be in there or like go in there.
It's cool.
It's really cool. It just seems really historic.
We did that. You got a drink, like a big regular size bottle drink,
mm-hmm.
candy, popcorn, and your movie ticket for $10.
Shut the front door.
It was a steal.
Wow.
So we did that and then had a blowout on the way home.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about that.
Not a blowout, what you're thinking, but an actual blowout with tires.
I lost a tire. Got home at like 12:30 because long story short, aftermarket wheels are very hard to take off. And $400 later, a man with a tow truck came and picked it up. I figured it'd be like $200. He told me $400, and I was just like, what do you do, argue with the man? He had my Jeep on the back of his truck. So I was like, well, okie dokie. So.
Oh, my gosh. Man.
But
maybe we should buy a tow truck and we just...
That's what the whole dad said. We're in the wrong business.
Let's get a tow truck. Buy a tow truck and just have it chill, you know. Go when you're called.
But, yeah, it's been pretty good.
Pretty good.
Christmas parties are upon us. I have one Friday night. Then I have, let's see, one on Tuesday night and three on Wednesday. Wow. Then my birthday is next week.
Yeah.
My birthday.
If only we had that soundboard.
I can find it.
But yeah. Happy birthday, Dylan. Dylan, how old are you? You don't have to tell us. You don't have
I'm
to
not
tell
old. Us. 25.
25! You know what's better than 24?
25. 25. I would just die if somebody would get me that on a cake.
Really?
I just want someone to get me a SpongeBob cake. I think that would be so funny.
That'd be really funny.
I'm not really into birthdays. Like, Andrea gets really upset with me because I really don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom's like, what are we eating for your birthday? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
What do you want? Home. My chair.
My chair.
But.
No one to bother.
Yeah, I'm not a big birthday celebrator. Other people's I am. But my own, I'm just like, let's not. Like, if you sing to me in a restaurant, I crawl under the table. Like, I do not like that at all.
Leave me alone.
So, but in other news, we have, here's our, it doesn't really, I have to dig into it more to get our numbers. But our hotspots is obviously the United States of America. Yes. Baxter. Melbourne, Australia.
Really?
Melbourne is a hotspot.
Wow.
Kensington. In the UK.
Wow.
Germany. Falkenstein.
Wow.
And Mount Juliet. I don't know why Mount Juliet's so popular, but hey, all you Mount Julians. Mount Julie. What?
We are like, we're on our world tour right now.
So 76.92% of our listeners are in the US. 8% of them are in Australia. 7.69% are in Germany. And then 7.6% is in Mexico.
Ah, Mexico. Wow. Yeah. You know what, everyone? Let's boost those numbers so we can beat the U.S.
For some reason, we had a large increase in downloads on December 11th. A little chart does this.
Huh. December 11th. What?
So.
What day is that? Oh, that was last Wednesday when we didn't post anything. Interesting.
46% people listen on Spotify. 30% Apple Podcasts. 7% Amazon Music. Then
I didn't even know we were on there.
7%. I put it on there a while back.
You are the man.
Chrome, just browsing.
Really?
It's an old lady. No, this is the old lady. The other 6% Firefox.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't even know Firefox still existed.
I haven't. I don't think I've...
If we're buffering, it's not our fault. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, we need to get the show on the road.
Let's get the show on the road, guys. We're going to talk about glory tonight. And you know how we do it. You know how we be. I'm gonna kind of go through some of the etymology of the word and the Old Testament. And then Dylan's going to wrap us up in the New Testament. So... This study was very insightful for me, I would say. You know, the Hebrew word for glory, at its most basic transliteration is, kavod. And when I say the word glory, you know, Dylan, particularly you, what comes to mind? Like, first things that pop in your mind when I say glory?
Food,
really?
You know, a glorious meal.
Glorious meal?
I just think, I don't know why I'm a food.
No, that I was like surprising food. To me, yeah.
Like when I should think of spiritual first, but it's always just food.
No, food, that's you interesting. Think of
this glorious meal.
Because it was good, right?
Yeah. Tasty.
Tasty. Interesting. Okay. You know what? I did not think of that one.
Sorry to throw you off there.
No, that's insightful.
I'm a big old guy. I like the food.
I'm going to have to think about that, but... What came to my mind was like worship. talking about Jesus, singing, praying, you know, things like that. And, you know, the phrase specifically, glory, you know, is like glory of God. You know, it's often a term that's thrown around a lot. You know, we sing or worship for the glory of God and stuff like that. But I really don't know what that means. You know, we kind of throw that term around a lot. So hopefully through this study, we'll kind of get to the bottom of it. But so to begin in the Hebrew, you know, kavod, it's one of the words that's used for glory. And kavod at its most basic meaning is the word heavy, literally heavy. And, you know, if you remember in the book of Judges, chapter 3, we're introduced to Ehud, you know, one of the judges that was, you know, more on the good side. They still had their flaws, but he was the left-handed assassin and stabs King Eglon. You know, what a great boy's name, you know, Dylan. You just keep that in your back pocket for whenever you're ready to have kids, you know. Eglon. And when he stabs Eglon, the word that's described Eglon is kavod kavod, which just means heavy, heavy. So he was heavy, heavy. I don't know why, but I just, for some reason, it's not like, I don't even know how to put it, but like in Judges, when you read that chapter, when it talks about Eglon, it, like in ESV at least, it like says like extremely fat or something like that. I'm like, that's so uncharacteristic for the Bible, for in my opinion. It's just that translation is. But, you know, the word in this case of Eglon is literal. You know, this person is literally heavy. But at the same time, there's another version, and it more of meaning along the lines of like metaphorically heavy. You know, and I'm not too familiar with it now, I would say, you know, but this, because language has evolved a little bit, but, you know, back in the 80s, or maybe earlier, or maybe later, you know, you get, like the skate culture or something, you know, like, that was heavy, man, or, like, surfer dudes or something, you know, you talk about something real deep, and they just be like, man, that was heavy, you know, and I don't think I've used that phrase often, I can't really think about it, but all that is meaning is that whatever conversation or circumstance you're describing or whatever's happening, it's weighty, you know, it's heavy. And maybe another way of saying it is like the gravity of something, you know, the gravity of a conversation is not physically or literally heavy, but it's metaphorically, you know, like if a traumatic event happens, and you have to talk about it with somebody, you know, that can be a heavy you know, the conversation can be very have a lot of gravity, weight to it, you know. And so what's interesting about this word kavod is, you know, so someone can be kavod, and that's, you know, Eglon, he's literally heavy. But there's a psalm that David says in chapter 7 of Psalms, verse 5, it says, "Let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust." So you can speak of someone of being literally heavy, but you can also speak of someone who has a degree of heaviness, like a reputation or something. And something that immediately pops to my mind is, you know, when the tornadoes happened in this mid-eastern part of Tennessee. And I can't remember exactly what day it was, but
Tuesday.
Whenever Trump came.
Oh, the tornado hit on Tuesday.
Yeah, do you remember when Trump came? Well, President Trump was coming to the disaster area. And I just remember, like, all of a sudden, like, a couple hours before, like, there was just all of a sudden, like, blacked out vehicles, men in a bunch of suits and earpieces walking around, surveying the area. And you could feel like he was there. Like you could just sense his presence just by what everything was happening around it. And he wasn't there, but, you know, all these people were there because of him. And it's, you know, the president is someone who, you know, you could describe has a kavod, you know, and that's what David is saying right here, is his kavod, his glory is in the dust, his honor, I would say, or reputation. And this sense of the word is actually kind of the majority of what's used in the Old Testament, where someone has this kavod. If you just look one psalm over in verse 5 of chapter 8, it says, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." So God has given, and what he's talking about here is, "Yet you have made him," meaning humans, us. So God has given human beings this kavod, you know. So when human beings are imaging God well, it's their kavod. And now most often in the Bible, it's God having kavod. And it's interesting because it's not just, you know, his reputation, but it's his kavod is used to describe a lot of physical things too. You know, if you remember in Exodus 24, the first time this occurs is on Mount Sinai. And God descends personally down onto the mountain, and there's fire and cloud and smoke. And the smoke and fire is referred to as God's kavod, God's presence. And so, you know, the word starts out as just meaning heavy. Then it's a metaphor for your influence, a reputation. And humanity as a whole has this gift from God, you know, and then also God has kavod. And now there's an important chapter in Isaiah 6. We talked about it in our holiness episode. And, you know, if you remember in chapter 6, verse 3, it's the temple vision. You know, there's the crazy wind creatures. And they're saying God is holy, holy, holy. And their explanation behind God being holy, 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 you know, three times is it says in chapter 6, verse 3, It says in verse 3, "Holy, holy is the Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So the whole earth is full of his kavod. So it's not just the cloud that descended on Sinai, but it's everything, all of creation. And so the idea is that all of creation is like this physical image that points to a brilliant mind behind it, who made it. You know, if you just, just thinking at work for some reason, like, we have an office, we have, like, a whole building, but then I specifically have an office, little desk area, and if you go to my desk area, you would see that I have, like, you know, some, I don't know, a Pink Panther and like, other things that would say, oh, that's Jackson's desk. And so that would be referring to, you know, you look around and that would be my physical image of me if I'm not even there, because you would know, hey, that's Jackson's desk because of what is on it. And so now that's just the noun. You know, then there's a verb form in Hebrew. It's called kaved. It's very similar. And essentially it means to speak or act in a way that brings glory to someone. And, you know, I can show you glory or kavod, or I cannot show you glory by simply the way I talk to you. You know, I can show you respect or honor, or I can disrespect you and dishonor you just through speech and body language, or even a relationship. Like, we work together, so I can make decisions that undermine you, and that would be me disrespecting you, not showing you glory. So, like, if we had a meeting, and, you know, me and Dylan work together, if Dylan scheduled a meeting at 3:30 and I was just purposely late and I walk in, I'm like, "So what? What's up? Get over it, you know?" And, you know, that would be me, like, detracting from Dylan's kavod because I'm not treating him well. And so in the biblical vocabulary, this word is used in many different areas. It's also used in praise and singing language. It's very popular in the Psalms. And the whole concept of worship and praise is, you know, you create this most beautiful language, poetry, and the most beautiful sound, you know, the combining of your voices, and those bring honor to God. And so, although human beings are these glorious images of God, we aren't the creator. And our existence, as well as everything else, is to point to a being that's even more remarkable than we can ever be. And worship is setting aside moments to say out loud to ourselves and to God and how amazing He is. And it's almost like we're acknowledging our place in the universe. And not because we are lame, but we are created in the image of something that's more glorious than us. And so this word in the Old Testament is really fascinating. But there's another variation, another one. And this is actually the majority. And it's where you give or don't give kavod, or give or don't give glory, by how you live your life. In other words, humans image God when they rule the world on His behalf in a way that brings Him the honor and honors the intention and the purpose that God has for us in our life. And in so doing that, we can glorify God. And this is kind of where I'm stopping, because I'm going to transition over into Dylan, because this is where Paul's vocabulary of the word glory kind of brings it to a whole new level. And, you know, and it's that Greek word doxa, but yeah, Dylan, take it over.
So if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians is a very interesting letter that Paul wrote, and he's writing to the church at Corinth, and in chapter 1, he opens it up with his greeting and telling them that he's here to love them and you know, care about them, but he has some things to say to them. And that's one thing I really admire Paul's writings, especially whenever he's writing to reprimand people that he cares about. That takes a pretty strong person to do that. And so he's writing and just saying, hey, I care about you, I love you, but one of the first problems that they had, and I don't know the specific order, but they were confused about who they were supposed to be worshiping. And I think that's the first problem, but I don't want to speak.
Yeah, it's divisions.
Out of terms. Okay.
Yeah.
And the issue was the church had wandered so far from their first love that they were confused, saying, well, I think Paul's the Savior. I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. And Paul's coming on the scene here to say, you guys are wrong. You've abandoned God. And now you think these other people can save you, and they can't. So now fast forward to chapter 10, and he's going through all these issues. And to me, chapter 10 is kind of the pinnacle point of his first letter. Now, that's my opinion. The Bible doesn't say it's the pinnacle. But the way chapter, or the first book of Corinthians works, is he's kind of telling them what they've done wrong. And then the second letter, 2 Corinthians, is kind of giving them hope. Like, okay, what can we do about this? Now that I've fixed all your problems, or not fixed, but now that I've showed you how to fix them, here's why I suggested this. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, and the end of chapter 10, he's talking about doing all in the glory of God, how they should live, how they should act. And as he wraps this up, he says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many that may be saved. And then the very first verse in chapter 11 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So here's what I take from this. Proclaiming God's glory to the world starts with evaluating your own heart, evaluating your own intentions. And what I mean by that, and I want you to remember what I'm about to say, we can't declare that God is above every other name if we are on the throne of our heart. We can't declare that God is the greatest, holy, 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 the holiest of people if we're still on the throne. And you hear that, and that seems like far-fetched language, But it's really not. That's if you take look at the root of all of the problems. That's why I think Paul mentions this problem at the very beginning. They are on the throne. And they're taking it upon themselves to decide who they want to worship. Who they want to hold as the holiest of holies. And Paul's saying, listen, you got this all wrong. But for us to think that we're powerful enough to decide who we're going to worship shows that their intentions were all wrong. You see, God doesn't expect us. He does expect us to hold him in high esteem. But God doesn't expect us to be perfect. You know, and I said this in a meeting on Friday. I would rather, like at work, like Jackson was talking about, I would rather see somebody fail, but try their hardest. That's what I wanted to see. If you fail, that's fine. If I know you're trying, then hey, everything can be fixed. But if you fail just because you don't want to do it, or you refuse to do it the way that I told you to, or just because you don't want to be there, then I could spit on you. And I know that sounds terrible, but God's the same way. God's saying, listen, I understand that you're going to fail. But the one thing I want you to do as a Christian is allow me to rule over your life. That doesn't mean perfection. That means hold me as the holiest of holies. You know, don't say that you do that, but then really in your own heart, you're still on the throne. We can't proclaim and his excellencies and give him all the glory, but then use that to gain success and approval and affirmation from the world. That's where we get it all wrong. So declaring God's glory starts with our own humility, making us realize that you are the holiest of holies. Now, and I'll, this is why I said this at the beginning. I'm actually using my notes tonight, which is a big deal, because I never do. But I put in here, I must have been hungry whenever I was typing this. But think about, like, your favorite meal of all time.
Your glorious meal.
My two favorite meals is a good Thanksgiving dinner and a good Christmas dinner. But I don't want to eat, like, turkey and ham all the time. And here's what I mean. Like, I go home on a Tuesday, you know, Monday, Tuesday night. What I'm going to make for dinner is going to be like a one pan, five ingredient thing I found on TikTok. Like pork chops, macaroni and cheese, and a baked potato.
Yeah.
And that's great. But like, we don't go home. Or maybe you do, and if you do, good for you. I guess you're last more together than nine. But like, when you go home, you're not making a turkey and ham and dressing and deviled eggs and green beans and corn casserole. You don't, we rarely have those type of meals. Because to me, I want to save that because that's what I look forward to. Like, I hold it in high esteem that I'm like, man, this is going to be the greatest meal in the world because I only have it twice a year. God expects us to do the same thing. And if you're willing, as chapter 11, verse 1 says, when Paul's saying, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ, he's saying, hold me higher than anyone else just because you have that much respect for me. Now, hold on. That's a whole new word that we brought into this. But if you're going to imitate somebody, if you're going to walk like them and talk like them and try to do the things that they did and not be perfect, but just, you know, try to be as much like that person as you can be, excuse me, then that means you should, if you're going to imitate somebody, I hope it's for the right reason, and you're intentional about it, it's because you hold that person higher than anybody else. You respect that person. Maybe you act different around that person because you always just, you know, want to be really nice. Like even at work, as simple as if I have a meeting with somebody, then I'm probably going to wear slacks and a nice shirt. Well, as you can tell, I didn't have a meeting today, so I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. Simply because whoever I'm going to meet, I want to respect them and not show out for them. But I'm gonna look a little bit nicer than I normally would. Like tomorrow, I have a meeting, and I'm probably going to wear slacks and a nice shirt. Just because I want them to know that I took the time to prepare myself for the conversations that we would be having. That's what it looks like to glorify God. Is, no, I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to set you above everything else. Just the way we think of, you know, Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners and catered meals and weddings and all these things where you have all this really good food. You get excited about it. I do. Maybe it's just me. But you get excited about that because you're like, ooh, we're going to have turkey. It must be a special occasion.
Yeah.
But guys, we simplify it so much that even when we pray to God, do we treat it like we're praying to the holiest of holies? Because one day all of creation will see Jesus for who he is. In Revelation, it paints a very beautiful picture of this in chapter 19, which we're not going to turn there because we're almost out of time. But we see this beautiful picture, and it says, starting in verse 6, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt him and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure." So one day everything will be set right. And when you imitate somebody, if you're intentionally imitating somebody, then I hope that you're imitating somebody that's right. Not usually if you're, you know, being controlled by bad things, it kind of happens blindsidedly. Nobody intentionally follows a bad influence, I hope. But if you're imitating somebody, you're trying to imitate somebody that's right. That's not perfect, but that's doing the right things and trying to do things honestly. One day everything will be set right. And we're going to see the abundant life that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians that comes from living for God's glory and living for his glory alone. Not the glory of the world. Not the glory of your parents or personal affirmations or the applause from other people. It's living in God's glory, giving him the glory, is we have an opportunity right now to live our life with our eyes set on heaven. That's a glorious life. And not seeking the approval of everybody else, not seeking the applause, not seeking the money, whatever. But we're going to live our lives with our eyes set on heaven because we're just that excited about it. You know, there's just something about sitting down at Christmas or Thanksgiving and just pigging out on this amazing food. And then when it's over and you're full and you can't eat anymore and you're laying there, you're like, oh, I'm going to die. You're just like, man, that was awesome. I can't wait till next time. That should be every day for us as Christians because we're that excited about the abundant life of being in the presence of Jesus that we're looking up there and going, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. And imitating Christ and giving him glory. But I'm telling you, it's a personal decision that you make because you can't live in the glory of Christ and give him the credit and give him the glory if you're on the throne of your own heart. It just doesn't work. God has to be above everything for you. And if he's not, then you're not seeking his glory. You're not showing his glory. You're not living in his glory. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing for Christians to do. It's a hard thing for me to do. Because we get so caught up in ourselves. And God's saying, don't get caught up in yourself. Paul was telling the Corinthian church, don't get caught up in following all these other people. Follow Christ. Even Paul says, I can do nothing for you. Apollos can do nothing for you. Cephas can do nothing for you. God can. And we have to understand that. You can do nothing for yourself. Sure, you can get glory here, but that's not, as Christians, that's not the lifestyle that Christ has planned for us. So, that's my take on glory. So,
that's great. Maybe there's a series in there that we'll pick up one day of who's on the throne. I'm sure we can find tons of parables.
Oh yeah,
and we might hammer that out one. We might. You just stay tuned. You stay tuned. Those people in Australia and Mexico and Germany and England. You just stay tuned, and I guess America. Well, guys, hope you have a great holiday week. You know,
Merry Christmas,
and just yeah. Seek the glory. I mean, what a great way to, you know, think of the new year too. Man, start off on the right foot. And you know, we'll tag along with y'all. How about that? So y'all be safe. We love you. Jesus loves you.
Have a great week.